Okay, how we doing today, folks? Everyone doing pretty good? Brian, did you get your power back on yet? Oh, man. Brian Gross lost. Yeah, you live a few blocks down. Did you sabotage Brian's? A few houses down, he's got power and Brian doesn't. Anyone else lose power? Still without power? I'm sorry to hear that. Okay. Kind of amazing. I was here at the building, and, just like the hand of God moved over Woodson Terrace. It just got dark, and just all of a sudden, hail and rain, and the women went downstairs. Of course, I stood by the window to look, see what was happening, hoping, but it looks like the windows were going to break, but I was braving it, amen, but maybe a little foolish, but anyway, so, but then I get on the phone, I call my kids, I'm like, okay, kids, are you okay? We live over in South City by Tower Grove Park, and they're like, oh, it's not raining, and so anyway, I said, well, it's on the way, it's moving from the west to the east, a weatherman, and so anyway, I'm like, make sure you get home. And Layla was at the Y. I said, get in your car and go home now. And you guys go in the basement. And then they called me later and they said, yeah, Dad, it's sprinkled a little bit, but the sun is shining. And then literally as the crow flies in the Central West End, total devastation. 5,000 structures were devastated. And so, I don't know, doesn't make a lot of sense, but man. Pray for the families and all the people that lost. There was a loss of life, some loss of life. I think 24 deaths from this storm. So let's go to God in prayer before we get into the message this morning. Father, you are a good, good Father. It's who you are. And we thank you that you've given us home in heaven and you've blessed us tremendously. We're just so grateful for how you love us, and how you lead us, and how you care for us. And we are thankful, God, for the legacy of generosity that we've all experienced from maybe passed down to us from family members. But if nothing else, we experience your generosity every day, God. You are so, you give us breath, you give us life, you give us your word, you give us patience. You are amazing in every way. And so I do pray that our hearts are always full of joy, full of thanksgiving, that our hearts are willing and ready always to be as generous as we possibly can be, God, Father, with you, of course, God, but Father, really with one another, and Father, the many opportunities we have to be generous as we go about the day, and thank you, Jesus, as Darnell said, thank you for being so responsible, taking responsibility for us, and thank you for giving us responsibility, and hope may we own the responsibility you give us. May we, I know you haven't given us more than we can ask, or more than what we can handle, or more than we can bear, so we thank you that you've given us responsibility, and thank you, Jesus, for being a great example of that, but be with us this morning, God, as we kind of get into your word here a little bit. God, remove me, say, God, only what needs to be said, so that we can glorify you in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You are the light of the world is our theme. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 16 here in just a moment. In fact, we're just going to go ahead and dive in and read it. This is Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to focus on verses 13 through 16, but I want to read the entire thing here this morning, just the first part of this. And this is a remarkable sermon. Say it's Jesus' first sermon. Perhaps that's true, maybe not. First what we have written here anyway. But let's pick it up here in Matthew chapter 5. Starting in verse 1, it says, now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and began to teach them, and he began to teach them. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of things evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And they persecuted Jesus. Amen. Verse 13 says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And the church said, amen. Amen. The Beatitudes. The Beatitudes sort of turns the world upside down, don't they? I mean, the poor in spirit, the meek, the persecuted, they are the ones who are truly blessed, Jesus says. Jesus blesses those. He says those that are usually overlooked, they are the blessed ones. The people that the world places on the margin, they are the blessed. You're blessed when you're on the margins. That's amazing, isn't it? It's not typically how I think about life. I think, you know, I'm blessed, so I've got everything I need and everything I want. But I'm blessed because I'm on the margin, because I'm persecuted for Jesus, because I'm meek. I'm blessed for that. Where's the prosperity gospel, bro? Come on. The truly blessed are the people that have everything they want and everything they need. When in reality, Jesus says, this is probably all you need. That's crazy, isn't it? As the young people say, that's crazy. Jesus doesn't elevate worldly strength the way we do. He redefines greatness by humility, by mercy, by dependence on God. That's upside down. That's different. That's not the way we're taught. It's not the way things tend to go. And it really, frankly, it wars against everything within us, doesn't it? I really want to be, when I'm strong, that's when I think I'm blessed. And this sermon, I want you to know, it's not just a collection of wise sayings. If you read through all of it, there's so much in there, but it is sort of a radical manifesto, if you will. It's an invitation to live in an upside down kingdom of God. What Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. He's not trying to just give us some poetic encouragement here. He's naming our identity. And he's saying, you are. He's giving the church identity. You are salt of the earth. You are light of the world. You are blessed when these things come your way in life. And so our title this morning, as my creativity goes, is You Are. So remind me, we got to say goodbye to someone today. So at the end of service. So we'll have you come up. We're going to say a prayer for you at the end of service. Okay? Tatum? All right. Good deal. In the metropolitan St. Louis area, man, we are a little bit of a divided group, right? We have fractured relationships. You know, this is a great city. I love so much about the city, and I was engaged in a conversation yesterday with some folks that have grown up here and love being here. And we were all talking about the St. Louis question, which is, where'd you go to high school? Yeah. And it was great to hear someone that says, you know, someone not from here said, why do people ask that question? I grew up in a small town. We only had one high school. And this guy said, it's because we can know everything we need to know about you by asking that question. We know a lot about you. You grew up in North County? Huh, okay. You grew up in South County? You went to Corey Zoo High School? Okay, I know something about you. We've pigeonholed people, and really, it's kind of neat, it's kind of cool, but it also kind of splinters us a little bit. We're kind of divided around high schools, aren't we? But it leads to what I consider sometimes we have fractured relationships. A lot of it around race, but frankly, a lot of it around money, neighborhood, socioeconomic. It's not all race. It's just also, it's about the green as well, okay? Where you live, what neighborhood you live in. Those things tend to divide us. And we can start to make those things sort of our identity. I went to such and such high school. Well, that's not who you are, I hope. You know what I mean? Hopefully you're not still living in high school, right? Unless you're in high school, then it's okay to be in high school. But that's not your identity. You're not a tiger or a wolf or whatever your mascot is, all right? We got political polarization, cultural confusion. And Jesus' words are meant to comfort us, but they're also meant to confront some of the things that we deal with. He says, you're not powerless. You're not anonymous. You're not irrelevant. You are salt. You are light. So I got 3 points real quickly. Point is salt as holy resistance. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, well, how can it be made salty again? You know, salt in the ancient world, as you probably know, wasn't primarily for seasoning, you know what I'm saying? It was for preservation. You rub salt into meat to keep it from decaying. And so when Jesus says you're the salt of the world, people didn't think of just, oh, you know, we're going to flavor this up a little bit. We're not just to flavor the world. But it says we symbolize purity and covenant with God. That we actually, your presence, wherever you are part of what keeps it from decaying. Wherever you are, wherever you live in your neighborhood, you are part of the things that keeps your neighborhood from decaying. Wherever you are, go to work, you are part of what keeps it from decaying. You are purity. You are covenant with God. You are salt wherever you exist. That your lifestyle and who you are and what you believe in and the conversations you have, they're salty. You know what I'm saying? And there's something different. It's upside down. We don't just blend in. We're different. Amen. And we have to embrace that. You're the salt. You're the ones that keep it from decay. It's your prayers. It's your walk with God. It's your time with God. It's how you live. It's how you act. It's how you interact. And even if you're working from home, okay, where you only have Zoom calls, which I would just personally just never do well in. I got ADHD. I just would not do well in a world where I work from home. Some of you that do that, God bless you. But I couldn't. I would get nothing done. And I'd get fired. During COVID, when the war was shut down, I literally get in my car and drive around the city and come up to the building and sit around and then go back home. I just couldn't stay in one spot. It's a dysfunction, you know what I mean? pray for me. But you're salt. You are part of your life, who you are. You are actually protesting a little bit what's going on. You are, by definition, resisting what's going on in the world around you. You are holy resistance to all that's going on. Your mere presence is resistance. You know, I had to go to the AT&T store up in Brentwood, and I picked a Saturday morning. It was pouring down, raining, but I had to go there to take care of some phone stuff, and so I go, and there's just people everywhere, people on the street, and I'm trying to read their signs, but it's raining, and they've got these signs that say resist, you know, and so I'm just kind of going, what are they resisting, you know? And I said, what are you resisting? And this guy goes, we're resisting them taking over our democracy. And I'm going, well, I didn't have the heart to tell him we don't live in a democracy, but never mind. You know what I mean? So I just thought, wow, and people, it was packed, and there were cars, and people were, resist. And I go, I actually felt like, wow, these people are out here resisting whatever they're resisting. You know what I mean? Like, see some good in that they, whatever they're resisting, they're bold enough to stand up and say, we're resisting it. I think as disciples, I don't think we should be marching up down the streets with signs necessarily, you know, maybe grab a card that you can share with people, but I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that you are, your life, who you are, what you believe, the word of God that you read, it's different. It's upside down. You are resistance. You're resisting a world that is unjust, that shows favoritism, that does not love or care about those on the margin, that will persecute you, by the way, for your faith. But you stand as salt of the earth. You resist apathy with compassion. You resist dishonesty with integrity. When everyone else is just fudging a little bit, cutting a corner, you won't, because you're going to be the person of integrity. You resist injustice with faithfulness and love and care and curiosity about those that are so different and unique. You resist isolation by being present, by showing up. See, we're more closed off than ever now, more isolated than ever. I think it was part of what the enemy hoped would come out of COVID is that we would all go, you know what? I ain't never going outside again. I'm never engaging, investing again. It's far more comfortable. You resist that by being present, showing up, making that phone call. You're salt. You are what preserves everything around us. But there's a danger of being diluted. If salt loses its saltiness, it's not good for anything anymore. If you lose your saltiness, and that's a risk, it says you don't just become irrelevant. You're in danger of becoming indistinguishable. When you lose your saltiness, you just sort of blend in like everyone else. You really are no different. You're not salty anymore. In fact, the thought of saltiness, you're going, well, I just would rather just, can I just be like everybody else? I don't want to stand out. I just want to fit in and be comfortable. I mean, I just want to be like everyone else, whatever that means. Can I just be like everyone else? Can I just be normal? And normal is changing a lot, isn't it? What used to be normal ain't so normal no more. You notice that? And if you just want to be normal, you got to keep moving the goalposts. You got to be willing, well, normal was this, but that's not normal anymore. And that's not even normal. And it's just happening faster. Like, what was normal last year is not normal anymore. With technology, you're like, dude, you're so outdated. A month later, you go, okay, well, now I got to get on board with that. So when you just want to fit in, you just got to keep changing and shifting and being like them and going along with whatever they say. You see my little hip-hop thing I'm doing there? You pick up on that? Just trying to be normal. No, that's not normal. My kids love when I dance. But salt needs to stay distinct. Not isolated, but different. Courageously holy is who we need to be. And these times, more than ever, they require courageous holiness that resists the world around us in a very courageous way. Because if there's people willing to go out in a pouring rain to resist things, man, disciples of Jesus, we should have no problem being holy and resisting this world. Amen. Point number two, light as a prophetic revelation. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. You know, modern day, we can sometimes think of light as ambience. You know what I'm saying? Until you have no power in your house, right, Brian? And then you're kind of like, man, it's dark in here. It feels a little different. It hits a little different when you can't get a response, doesn't it? But for the most part, you just don't really recognize it. But I want you to imagine the people that heard this for the first time. In a pre-electric world, light meant visibility. Light meant salvation. Light means navigation. Light hits a little differently when you don't have it as available as you want it. Jesus isn't telling us to be more inspirational, amen? Jesus is telling us we need to be indispensable in this world. You are the light of the world. You are indispensable to the world around you. You are so key. People can't see without you. They can't navigate their way without you. Oh, I don't mean you because of you. I mean because of he who lives inside of you. Amen. Right. But you are indispensable. That's why I have you here. You illuminate a path home for people. You are the compassionate one, the loving one. You've the one because there's a spirit inside of you. You will not show favoritism. You will not lie. You've decided on a different path. Amen? You're the light. You're the light that reveals, but you're also the light that heals. Amen? You're the light of the world. Light does expose the things that are broken, but also shows a way forward for people. And that's what you are as light. You are the way forward for people, not you, him who is inside of you. When people are around you, we show people there's a different way. There's a reason why I overcome whatever my struggles might be, whether they're my marriage, whether they're my personal depression or my sicknesses or my illness. There's a reason why I keep moving forward. Light means, yes, I call out sin in my life and the lives of others. Light means, yes, I show the hope of repentance and restoration always. Light says, yes, I will expose the injustice in my life. Light says, yes, I rejoice when I see good things happening. Light reveals darkness. Light, the darkness in our lives. But it has a way of just speaking the truth and love into other people's lives as well. Light is just not going to let their brother or sister just be spiritually apathetic. They're going to be willing to have a tough conversation in the most loving way. But light says, because I love you, can I share something with you? Can I show you something? Let your light shine before others. that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This is not about self-glory. We live visibly so that the one inside of us is so visible to everyone around us. But the Bible says you are that. You are a prophetic revelation to the world. When's the last time you thought of yourself that way? I am a prophetic revelation. God wants to reveal something in and through me that I otherwise cannot do on my own. It's God inside of me, amen. I want to be important. I want to be significant. And God goes, you are so blessed, but you are just your life, who you are. It says something that you can't even imagine when the world sees it. And lastly, point number three, you are right where you are. I spent a lot of time on these. Jesus didn't say we need to become salt and light. It's just you are. This is identity, right where you are, you are. Right where you are light. He put you in this country, put you in the state of Missouri, if you live here. If you're not, some people from Chicago here today. We just want you to know we love Chicago, most of us, amen. But God puts you in the neighborhood he puts you in. He puts you in the school he puts you in. He puts you in the household, in the family. You are. You are right where you are. You are light. You are salt. You are all of that and so much more. You're placed everywhere you are, this purpose God's giving you. You are right where you are. You're right where you need to be. Embrace it, enjoy it, and be the salt and the light. Don't be so eager and so anxious and so quick to try to get out of it, amen? You are where you are. You're like, I don't like this moment of grief and conflict and struggle and strife. I don't like it, but God goes, you are where you are. You are salt, you are light, show the world. I mean, can you imagine? And I know it's relative, living off $74 a week, six kid. I don't care what time period it is. That math ain't mathing, you know what I'm saying? That math is not mathing. Can you imagine? A woman sitting down trying to write a contribution check, probably for $1.50, I don't know. But whatever it is, trying to give to God. Right. I don't like where I'm at right now, but you know I am where I am because of God Almighty. And there's going to be such a great legacy. God's going to use me where I am to show something that I can't even imagine. You are where you are. You know, we have a benevolence committee in the church, and it's our most active committee in the church, I believe, and we get benevolence requests regularly, sometimes a few a month, and they require a lot of work and paperwork and things like that that need to get done. We had a benevolence request come in for a woman that's just going through a really difficult time right now, and she's been cited for a house. Some things need to be taken care of. And we were missing, Tink Sullivan was on the benevolence committee, and we were kind of kicking on who would be next, and I thought, I got the perfect person, Ken Calinato. The guy's got a heart for people on the margin. I mean, he's adopted, fostered kids, and had them in his home. And they were doing Hope Worldwide for us, and Ken goes, Alex would be better. I said, no. You are our guy. You see what he did there, Alex? He goes, I didn't give it to Alex. And I know. I said, Ken, you're the man. And so Wednesday night, Ken goes, hey, a benevolence request came in. There's some work need to get done at this woman's house. And I'm going over there on Saturday, and I need a few guys that can help out. And this is a picture of those men with that massive dumpster in the back. putting stuff out. I appreciate these men that showed up, but, you know, because we are in this community, amen? Amen. This is in our neighborhood that this happened, in Woodson Terrace. And one of the things I really believe we need to do a better job of is we need to do a better job in this community. And we're really working to be better. That playground, it's not just for our kids. It's for this community. I want this building to be for the community. I don't want us just to come in and then leave. You know what I'm saying? Use it and then leave. Amen. So I was so excited that we got this opportunity. I got there late, dropped the ball. Jesse made fun of me and all that stuff, hurt my feelings for me getting there late. But I'm over it now, Jesse. I'm good. No, Jesse's my guy. But I really appreciate that. See, we're here. These men taking advantage. Wherever you're at, there's opportunities to serve. There's opportunity for us to be good. So I'll close with this. Jesus is defining and declaring our identity. You are. But he's also commissioning us. Resist decay. Reveal the truth. Be courageous. Don't get diluted. Don't hide. And here's a beautiful thing here. Our witness, it communicates a connection with God. Whenever you share about Jesus, you're doing more than just sharing something for that person. You're drawing yourself closer to the God inside, that God inside of you. Amen. So those are our thoughts for today.